Hey, everybody, welcome back. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700. And we say hello to ESPN's Zubin Mahente, who joins us right now. Zubin, the weekend was a very interesting weekend of college basketball. To be honest with you, I thought that Grayson Allen's shot was going to go in, and I thought he was going to go down as another Duke player that hits one of the biggest shots ever in a tournament. It didn't happen, and then Kansas wins the game in overtime. Just your overall thoughts on how the NCAA tournament has played out for the Final Four.
I mean, I think it's been great. I mean, I think it's been super compelling. The first game of the tournament went to overtime. The most recent game of the tournament went to overtime. What more do you want? In between, you got Michigan over Houston. You got Loyola winning three games by 4 points. You got two traditional blue bloods in the final game to determine the final spot to the Final Four, where 40 minutes wasn't enough. You've got a player that is polarizing, taking the last shot to perhaps put his team in the Final Four. And then you're in a situation where you've got the Loyola factor. So for me, all things considered, I thought it was outstanding. We'll wait to see how it all finishes up. But the tournament started with a bang with Trae Young against Rhode Island. It is, to this point, its most recent point, finished with a bang. And I think it's one of those situations where I think it's worth mentioning. Coach Greenberg, we had the College Game Day guys on last night with J.J. Will and Seth, and I think Seth made up a great point. He said that this is the third year in a row where a sport dominated by freshmen. Dominated by freshmen. The whole sport is. And for the third year in a row, no matter who wins this thing, whether it's Loyola, Michigan, Kansas, or Villanova, that the champion will be someone that is not relying on the one and done. It is the lifeblood of the sport. It is probably better to have these guys in the sport than not have them. I don't think anybody could have given us a Trae Young-type storyline, and that's only there if he's allowed to come for 1 year as he wishes and goes to the league. But Coach's point that whether it's Villanova in 2016, who rarely, even in totality, puts a lot of one-and-dones in the league. You have your Tim Thomases and some exceptions. Very, very few. Carolina last year, part of the reason they didn't have a lot of one-and-dones is because that academic scandal is being held over them and they're having some trouble recruiting to their standard. And whoever wins this year. So that's 3 years in a row in a sport where we're salivating over the freshmen and Coach Cal and Coach K are constantly going back and forth to try to grab them. That the eventual national champion will come from someone that chooses to do it another way. And I think that's pretty cool.
So speaking of that, I know you did a lot with the game day guys. And Zubin, one of the other things talked about is Bill Self. Back to the Final Four, getting past the Elite Eight, something that has hit him. We know the upsets early on, losing to Bucknell, getting beaten around at 32 by UNI, on and on and on. 14 consecutive Big 12 tournaments. But there's always, or regular season titles, excuse me, but there's always that, yeah, but. A national title, what does that do for Bill Self and that conversation you've been having with people at ESPN?
Well, he's a Hall of Famer already, so I don't think he needs to prove anything to anybody. Last time the Final Four was in San Antonio, they won it, so maybe there's some good momentum going there for them. I will tell you this, to Jim's point, if Grayson Allen's shot falls, what exactly you said, Trent, that's exactly what we're talking about today. If that shot falls, that's all we're talking about today. However, I think a fair question, not today, but not in the moment, because it's a very tough question to ask in the moment, and you don't want to ask it to Grayson Allen or Marvin Bagley or Coach K in the moment, but I think it's fair on a Monday to ask the question, did Duke underachieve a little bit? And I'm not just saying that because every Duke team should be in the Final Four. But look at the box score yesterday. This is, everybody agrees from the game day guys, this is arguably Self's best coaching job. We were having discussions all throughout the year, right, on your show. The field or Kansas? The field or Kansas? How do you feel? And this was the year it was going to happen. And then this was the year it wasn't even really close at the end. Kansas, I think I looked at the box yesterday. They had seven players play. I think Garrett played like 8 minutes. So they had six guys play significant minutes. Duke is loaded, and I think most people would agree, even though Villanova has played the best of the tournament, who has the best talent? And I think Duke's got talent. I'm not crying me a river for Kansas. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, look at Duke's talent versus what this Bill Self team had. He had Frank Mason III last year. His offer was from Towson, National Player of the Year. Devontae Graham, as Bill said yesterday, Appalachian State. That's who wanted him. Small school in North Carolina in the Raleigh area. And he now replaces Frank Mason. And these are two guys that couldn't get a look almost anywhere else. And Self has molded them into incredible talents. Silvio D'Souza in December of 2017 was a high school basketball player. In December of 2017 was a high school basketball player. Yesterday, he played to go to the Final Four in basically a 13-week span. And as you guys know, when you were watching D'Souza early in the season in the Big 12, he struggled. Like, he wasn't great, and he's not supposed to be. He's coming right out of high school. But he's matured incredibly, and then obviously what Malik Newman has been able to do. And Billis seems to think Newman is the guy that will take them from good to great. So I think it's a fair question to ask about Duke today. But to Jim's point, had that shot fallen, I think, Trent, your point becomes the number one talking point, which is what's going on again with Bill Self. But, you know, again, we're nitpicking a guy. We'd be nitpicking a guy that is in the midst of his coaching career. He's not close to the end. He's in the midst of his coaching career. He's already in the Hall of Fame. And we're sitting here, you know, poking holes in him. So I think sometimes we have to realize who we're really talking about and all the things he has accomplished. But I the way he reacted yesterday, I've seen him emotional. But you could tell, guys, I don't know if you agree, that one meant a lot to him. That one really, really meant a lot to him when you saw the expression on his face.
I agree with that aspect of it. I really do. His reaction was priceless, to say the least. Zubin, a lot to cover here in college hoop. Let's go to some coaching vacancies. And one of those vacancies is still Louisville. They have taken the athletic director, Tyree, down there and made him official now as the new AD. He was the interim. Does he immediately, with what I have seen so far, saying that when he shows up in San Antonio for the Final Four, he is going to have his new coach with him? Zubin, who is that new coach going to be?
I mean, it's there's a lot of guys that I think, this to me is a top 10 job in the sport. I don't know what the sanctions are going to be for Louisville, and I think no matter whom you hire, you're going to have to give that person a little extra time because you just cannot guarantee you're going to be able to walk into this situation. The name that everybody seems to be talking about is Chris Mack. That's the number one name. That feels like the right move. It's not that far of a move. He did go to Xavier. He is Xavier's all-time win. I mean, he's done an amazing job at Xavier. But I think there is something to be said for having the resources at Louisville and having the ability to compete in that sort of league. I think that is also a hire that the fan base would like because this is a guy that's coming off a number one seed. They won the Big East for the first time in history. They were able to edge out a regular season title from the team that most people believe is the best team going right now in Villanova. He's paid his dues. He's a good recruiter. I think they'd be very happy with that move. But at the same token, if you're Chris Mack, I think if you keep building at Xavier, you can get your goals accomplished at Xavier. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, what's the real difference between a school like Xavier and a school in the ACC? Likely the players you can get and the money they can pay you. But to be honest with you, the players you can get doesn't seem to be that much of a big deal because he was able to get a number one seed playing in the Big East. He can accomplish his goals. This isn't like Chris Peterson, who I love. And at some point you probably knew he was going to leave Boise because his ultimate goals could not be achieved at Boise. Go to Washington, try to get into the college football playoff to win the whole thing. Going to be difficult to do at Boise. Chris Mack knows that he can get his ultimate dream succeeded at Xavier. He doesn't have to leave to go. But with the money difference and the allure and the ability to step up and play on the biggest of stages against Duke, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Syracuse, all these types of schools, Florida State, who made the Elite Eight, that might be tough to turn down. So it just feels like Mack to me, Jim, is the guy that I would target. It just seems like the right fit overall.
Zubin Mehete joining us from ESPN. Zubin, on the other side of the bracket from Kansas and their matchup against Villanova, you have the upstart, the dark horse, the Cinderella Loyola. We've loved this story, obviously, here watching the MVC and seeing this Loyola team, but it's one thing to get to a Final Four. We've seen 11 seeds do this before. It's another to break through and get to the title game. How big of a shot do you give them against the Wolverines?
Well, I would tell you this. Yesterday, we were doing the show with the three guys, and at some point during the show, it was like a half hour. Towards the end, we got the Las Vegas odds. And they said in my ear, she said in my ear, the producer, here are the odds. And people, I know, Trent, you're a big gambling guy. I mean, people love talking about the odds. So we throw the odds up. And I mentioned them, and, you know, Villanova's in front, whatever the case is, we reel off all the teams. And then I say at the end, the longest of long shots is Loyola. Guys, what do you think? And Billis just goes, does anybody want to bet against Loyola? You know, I mean, I tried to sell it as if, like, you know, who really wants to put their money on Loyola? I believe they were a 12-1 when we ran them yesterday. I don't know if the odds have changed since. And Jay's immediate comment was just like, and who wants to bet against them? To me, at the end of the day, there is no downside to them getting to the national championship game, and to be honest with you, even getting blown out. I don't think they would get blown out. It's like Duke and Butler. You look out on the surface, it's like, how's Butler going to hang with Duke? And, well, you know, there's a half-court shot at the end. I don't think there's any downside to this. This is perfect. You have a blue blood. You got Kansas. You have an emerging blue blood in a big TV market. I'm not saying Philly is crazy about Villanova, but, you know, this is their time. This is their moment. They will be embraced there. And then you've got Michigan, which is a big national brand, maybe more of a football school than a basketball school, but it's certainly a great brand. And you've got Loyola, and you've got a great storyline, of course, surrounding Loyola with Sister Jean and everything they've been able to do. So if they were to get to the title game, I think it's great for the sport. It shows schools like Drake. I mean, again, this is a Missouri Valley Conference school. It shows schools like Drake, listen, you're not as far off as you think. Porter Mosier was not like Brad Underwood, right? This is not a guy that was just winning everywhere, and then he was hired into a big-time league. Porter Mosier has struggled for quite some time, much like Ryan Odom had struggled initially at UMBC. So I think for them to get into this game would be great. Games on TBS, it's not going to be a gigantic number anyway. So even if they were to go and get blown out, it wouldn't be a big deal. But it would tell so many other people in the sport, including a school right there in your backyard, that it is possible. Listen, one other thing I just want to mention here, Trent, about the Drake job, if I could. Whenever a firing happens or like a jilted situation like that happens, with Nico Medved, okay? And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not there anymore on a day-to-day basis. But if that were to have happened at Iowa State, or not even a school of that magnitude, like Big 12, Big 10, but if that had happened at most other schools, and it happened like that, okay, and Harden came out and said what he said, the social media firestorm from the fans would be off the charts. Like, we didn't need this guy. We don't want this guy. This guy doesn't want to be here. From what I could gather, it didn't draw, like, a peep of response from the Drake fan base. I don't know how big the Drake fan base is, to be honest with you. But that's the sort of thing where I look at Drake and I say to myself, if that had happened to any other school, the fan base would be up in arms about this. What happened? We trusted this guy. We'll do better. And I just didn't hear, like, anything from the Drake fans. I mean, it's easy to say, well, these people don't come to games at the Knapp Center. I mean, I don't really know what the level of support is for the school right now.
Zubin, that's a great point. And from that aspect, there was a little pushback, but as you just referenced, not a lot. And look, it was a job that Nico Medved, that's home to him. And he also took his assistants with him as well. They signed contracts there today. So whoever takes over for Drake is going to be working on a total rebuild, not only the team, but also being able to rebuild the staff as well. On the national scene, have you heard any insight, or do you think mostly they're going to stay pretty much local, when I say local, regionally within the Midwest?
It's really hard to say because, just to the previous point, there's just no traction around the program. It's like if they said, let's talk about Drake for 15 seconds on SportsCenter, they'd, like, laugh me out of the room. Like, 15 seconds. Like, oh, you're not kidding. You know, like, there's just no traction for it, even though I'm interested in it because it's a great academic school and I worked in the area and I've seen what Keno can do and I know they've been to a Final Four. And it's just a wonderful community of people. But I would just tell you, that to me, if the goal is to get a lifer, and that's going to be really hard, then I think you have to go with somebody local. You got to go with somebody that's got ties somewhat like Medved, I know, having been on the Colorado State staff. I think, though, from listening to Brian Harden, I actually really enjoyed the emotions on the sleeve. I enjoyed that. I thought that was great. Some people said it was unhinged or whatever. I thought it was awesome. It was honest. It was just a real visceral response. And I think this guy has bigger designs for the program than most people have for it. So I think he should probably widen the search to get the best possible guy. But if the fan base, the ones that are vocal and loyal, are really upset about somebody just not being a Drake guy, then I think it's not a wise idea to widen out the search. However, I think Harden himself has mentioned this, and I think most mid-major athletic directors live under this auspice, which is simply, if you want to leave us after 2 or 3 years because a big-time school is calling, that probably means you've done a good job for us, and we'd be happy to see you go, wish you the best, and realize you've probably left us in a much better place than we were before. I mean, Aquino is like a one-hit wonder type thing, but certainly you can't argue that he left them in a better place than when he found them from his father when he took over the team. So for me, if you want to go local and get a lifer, I think you got to go local to get the lifer. I don't think that's realistic today. I think a guy that takes Drake to the NIT or any sort of postseason tournament is going to get some looks. But at the end of the day, if that's better in pole position than where they were before he got there, then I think that's worth the risk. I do think, though, I mean, I've been talking to some people out there. It's been a long, long time since I've been to a game out there. But at the end of the day, it just has to be game atmosphere. And when I've seen them on television, as some of the games come across here at ESPN, sometimes they're filthy, my old buddy Larry Morgan on the call. It just doesn't feel like there's a great atmosphere. It's a small gym. Shouldn't be hard to pack. And you're in a league that lost arguably its best member, so you should be able to move up the ranks a little bit easier to even get to the middle portion of the league. So the right coach is one thing, but I think there's still so many things in and around the program that you have to fix, from the atmosphere. And if you can't fix the atmosphere, you're not going to get the recruits. I mean, why wasn't Timmer playing 2 years ago? I mean, there's like so many questions out there. And I'm not watching the team. I'm not Andy Fales, right? I'm not watching the team every single day with my Drake shirt on, right? I mean, I'm just watching. I hope I can mention him, even though he's on a competing station. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I just watch from afar, and I'm just sort of like, they have so far to go. But at the end of the day, Trent, you're an Iowa lifer. You're a proud Iowa lifer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me they are? I mean, I know Iowa State is committed to basketball, and you know Iowa is committed to football. You know that better than anyone. Can you tell me Drake is committed to any athletic program? And committed?
No.
Committed to win at the highest level?
No. No, and there's lip service, and then there's actually doing it. And until we see, you know, they have the new practice facility, but is that enough? I mean, is that even just putting you on par with other MVC programs? It feels, if they want to go all in, an opportunity is there. I don't know if they want to go all in Forest Avenue, and that's the problem.
I think the other thing, too, is this guy, I don't know this guy, Brian Harden, at all. I just saw the press conference. I got fired up watching it. My thing is, this guy probably wants a little bit better. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Tom Herman. When Herman was in his final season at Houston, I had a chance to interview him before they played Oklahoma, that huge upset they had, and the season didn't turn out exactly the way that they had hoped, but he was a guy that was just like, I walked around their facilities, and I was just like, and he was walking around so confident the day before the game. Major Applewhite was walking around so confident before the game, and I'm just like, they have a fraction of the budget. And I was just walking around the facilities. Nice, not Oklahoma's facilities. But he was just the sort of guy that was just like, I can raise the standard by just being here. And I think a lot of that was just, he just didn't really know. He came from Ohio State, so he didn't really know what he didn't know. You know, he just went with it and said, hey, I can recruit. I got Ed Oliver. We can make this thing work. I think Harden's the same way. I know he's got some metro ties, right? I mean, he's a Central Iowa kid from what I know. But I think he's probably come from a situation at Marquette and other places where winning was the expectation. Like when Tom came to Houston from Ohio State, he's like, I don't care that we don't have the facilities that we used to have. I'm a winner. I'm used to winning. And I think when you bring in a guy from the outside like Harden that isn't kind of used to the doldrums of Drake, but instead used to winning and being successful, it's easy for that guy to come in and say, we're going to do things differently. I think the hardest thing to do is to like promote somebody from within just to keep the continuity. But at the end of the day, knowing the continuity is not doing anything, because under that same leadership, you didn't do anything. So I think sometimes just going out of the box, getting somebody that is unfamiliar is generally seen as a negative. But in this case, if they're unfamiliar with bad, you know, with bad performance level, that's a good thing. And that's what I saw with Herman. He was able to take a situation and just make it so much better than anyone thought it could have been, because he didn't know any better. He expected that. And I think just from listening to Harden, he's not going to be like, oh, this will be an okay hire for Drake. This is an acceptable hire for us. I think he would like bat his eyes at listening to something like that. I think he's setting the standard way higher than other people have. Some people privately might grumble and say, you got to realize what you're doing here, man. This is this type of school. But I'd rather have a guy swing and miss than just accept mediocrity.
Zubin, 30 seconds left. You're getting ready for dinner. You're going to Five Guys. What's on the order?
I'm a light eater for like five guys because obviously it can catch up to you in a hurry.
Sure.
So I usually go. I'm the only guy here that will order a grilled cheese. Five Guys is like banging down with like In-N-Out to be the best burger joint in America. I'm about to go in and order a grilled cheese sandwich. It's lame, but I think it's the best thing I got to do here for my health.
You and Brinson, two birds of the same stone there. Unbelievable. Five Guys are not even getting a burger. All right, Zubin. Good talking with you. We'll talk to you again soon over with Ken, all right?
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
That's Zubin Mehente checking in. Always enjoy our conversation. We're due for a break. Quick timeout. Back with more on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC. And welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC. We take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. Well, a week from tonight, we will be getting ready to crown a national champion in college basketball. One of the biggest sports fans out there, our man Wolfgang, joins us right now. Wolfgang, NCAA tournament down to the final four. How are you feeling going into this thing?
The Hawkeyes took Michigan to overtime in the Big Ten tournament.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
I'm here all week. Try the veal.
So that's it. That's the Hawks took him to overtime. That means that Iowa's close, that the Hawkeyes are going to break through next year, and they'll be in the Final Four. Where are you going with this?
Smoking a cigar right now.
Oh, really?
That's as good as it gets, man. And I know you hate that stuff, and so do I, Trent, but give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit going into the offseason so I can say, look how good Michigan is. Look, and I don't know if you heard. Did you get to hear our guys Miller and Dave through their podcast?
I did not because they will not put it on Stitcher. I've asked them multiple times and they won't do it. They have it up there and it's not updating. And then they get mad at me for asking. So no, I'm not going to listen until they get it up there.
Jesus, they don't want more listeners. Now, Dave did a whole damn show with us, did he not?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You think we'd have a little pull there? Anyway, had an interesting take. You know, he talks a lot of Michigan. I know some people hate it. I like to hear, you know, about other teams and stuff like that. And he brought up something to the effect of, I've loved Beilein forever. I just think he's an awesome coach. He's somebody that would probably work best with my personality. I don't know that I could really play for Fran. I don't know how your personality is. If you want, you know, a Bobby Knight type guy or a Fran type guy or a guy that's a little more calm. I mean, Beilein will yell. But it's almost like when he's yelling at you, you're kind of giggling.
Right.
And that's, you know, I mean, you really want to make him happy more than you're mad that you pissed him off. And I've just loved him forever. And I'm watching him, and Dace was saying something to the effect of that Beilein learned a few years ago that he knew he was a good coach offensively. He knew he could coach rebounding. He knew he could recruit. He knew he could do, you know, talk to the media. He knew he could had no problem with the donors and stuff like that. But basically what he said, and I do not want to get Dace on my bad side, okay? So I'm not quoting him here. But he said something to the effect of that Beilein kind of realized, you know what? Man, I could be a lot better at coaching defense. And he went out and got a couple assistants and said, here, you take that side of the ball. I suck. And Dace basically said, yeah, I kind of suck at defense and coaching it. You guys take that side of the ball. What do you think of that? If you want to relate it back to Hawkeye basketball, did you ever imagine Fran doing that?
No. He doesn't have that personality type where I could see him completely handing the reins off and say, you guys figure this out. And to that, here's Michigan over the last 4 years defensively and defensive adjusted defensive efficiency.
Okay.
Last year, they were 69th. The year before, 92nd. Year before that, 100th. 4 years ago, 89th. They've never been good defensively.
So maybe he did mean this year. I'll have to look that up and see if he actually brought in the assistant this year.
This year, yeah. He brought in, they have a defensive coordinator. They have a guy that is dedicated to that side of the ball. It would say difference. We haven't seen that a whole lot in college basketball. There are similar things in the NBA. But credit to John Beilein, understanding that I know offense. I know how to get guys shots. I know how to coach guys up over there, but we have a deficiency looking at that and then going out and figuring out a way to improve upon it. And now this year, Michigan is fourth in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency. Again, 69th, 92nd, 100th, and 89th over the last 4 years. This year, fourth. That doesn't just happen by, oh, guys are a lot better. You also need to make some adjustments on what you do. And Iowa's had some good defensive teams. They've had a couple of years where they were solid on the defensive end. You go back to 2015, 2016, two NCAA tournament teams. Iowa was 34th in the country in 2015, and then in 2016, they were 30th. So two top 35, which is very good. Remember, we're talking 351 teams here in the country that you're going up against. Top 35, 2 years, that's good. But since then, the last 2 years, it has been brutal for the Hawks. Last year, they were 123rd. And this year, Wolfgang, the Hawkeyes finished up 244th. 244 in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency.
Yeah, and if you can look for this, if you had this awesome stat, I don't know what, three-quarters of the way through the year, the next closest to Iowa you had, I loved that stat, the next closest like big-time program that was close to Iowa, I mean, it wasn't even close, it was ridiculous. But I'm sitting here wondering why. It's funny, we're sitting here talking about Michigan, offensive coordinator will be Beilein, the defense, they brought in somebody, because he just admitted, nobody can be a damn expert at everything. You just can't. It's impossible, and I love people that can figure out their flaws, admit it, and go, you know what? I'm going to bring in somebody that can. Can you recruit? Okay, awesome. Can you coach defense? All right, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to do, and we'll figure out the rest. They did that back in the NBA. I don't know if you remember, this is a long time ago, but when Larry Bird was coach for the Pacers, they brought in a guy named Dick Harter. I think it's H-A-R-T-E-R, or mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's exactly right. And then the Dallas Cowboys the Dallas Mavericks coach right now. Okay? It's fine. You know, Larry Bird realized, you know, I'm going to be the CEO. I'm going to be the guy that speaks less, but when I do say something, everybody's going to listen. And it worked. They were very, very successful with the Pacers. I don't understand why other teams, other college programs don't think outside the box like that. Maybe they do on recruiting, right? They'll bring in certain guys that are just, you're on the road to recruit. I mean, there are certain guys like that. You got to bring me the players. I don't even expect you to even know how to coach, which is fine. Right. Everybody's good at something. Everybody's good at making connections, whether it's in the East or North or South or West or whatever it is, the inner city. Somebody's good at something. And I respect so much that Beilein did that at the age of what? What is he? Higher 60s? Mid-60s?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he realized, you know, man, after all these years, he had never been an assistant coach, I believe, Trent. And he goes, you know what? Man, I kind of stink at coaching defense. I'm going to go get somebody that can. I can't tell you how much I respect that, and I'm rooting for him.
John Beilein, 65 years of age. You're right, a head coach all throughout his career, even starting out early on. He was headed a job, his first coaching job, after coaching high school basketball at Erie Community College. Went to Nazareth, Lamone, Canisius, Richmond, West Virginia, and now at Michigan. It's all finished up with 723 wins to this point. 725 would put him in rarefied air. So you're rooting for Michigan to cut down the nets, to win the whole thing?
I am, because I find it so interesting. They're finding ways to win because they haven't really been. Was it the Texas A&M game? No, who was the game they just went off? They could not miss.
A&M,
it was
yep.
like, yeah, it was one of the most dominant games I've not only seen this year, I've seen in a long time. It's up there, like top five in the last 5 years. They were just hitting everything and playing defense. It was phenomenal. And they're playing a big, you know, a big conference school, SEC school, in Texas A&M. So I respect that. So really the only offensive game they had was against Texas A&M. Otherwise, they're just figuring out ways to figure it out defensively, or they're hitting a guy, clutches up and hits a three-pointer at the buzzer with his legs basically doing the split, which was so hilarious. Because did you see that screenshot of him doing that in high school, Trent?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That was so cool, man. So, yeah, I'm rooting for them. I think they are doing it the right way. I don't think they're cheating. To be at Michigan, Michigan's a freaking good school. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good coach. I would just be stunned if I heard, like, he's in this FBI stuff. If it comes out and they add more coaches to it, I'd be a little bit surprised. If he is, you know, I would be surprised if Michigan, after what happened with the Fab Five and more like Weber and all those guys. But, I think I'm rooting for Michigan because obviously a little bit of Big Ten homerism. But it's hard not to root for loyal to Chicago. Who are you rooting for? Or do you even root, Trent? You probably don't even root.
Why would you say that? Of course I root. I have a rooting interest on whoever I'm betting on. That's who I'm rooting for. So I root more than anybody, I'm going to guess, over the course of a night, the amount of games that I bet on. A quick aside, do you know how Beilein got the West Virginia job, finally kind of making the jump up? Do you realize what happened there? I had just when you were talking, I was looking a little bit more at Beeline's record, and I didn't know this.
When they went to the Final Four, you mean with
no, Pitt well,
Snoggle or whatever
yeah.
his name was?
No, yeah, he got there with Pitt Snoggle and with Gansey and that group. But the reason that he was hired at West Virginia, they had already hired a different coach. They
was
had hired West
Illinois dude.
No. West Virginia had hired Dan Dockich. It comes full circle, Wolfgang. Your boy Dockich.
You have to be kidding me.
Had been hired. He quit 8 days later. That led to John Beilein going to West Virginia. Unbelievable. How crazy.
How
is
have
that?
I missed that? You're hearing this for the first time like me.
Yes.
This is. How did that not ever even come into our consciousness? I've never heard that. That is stunning. What did Dockich do before that? Nothing. Why was he going to get the West Virginia job?
He had done a decent job at Bowling Green to that point. Now fell apart for him at Bowling Green, and I believe he has an overall career losing record as a college coach. But yeah, Dockich quit after 8 days on the job. How odd is that?
That I can't even fathom that. That's amazing. So I will look that up.
I want to do a little more research, too. Yeah, I got to read up on this.
Because you can't believe everything you read. That seems so crazy. It's almost like if it wasn't coming for you, if it was like coming from somebody at a sports bar, like I wouldn't even believe it. Since it's coming from you, I'm believing it here.
I'm reading right now. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
In 2002, Dockich was named head coach at West Virginia. During conversation with West Virginia players, Dockich learned people affiliated with the basketball program may have been guilty of NCAA recruiting violations. He allegedly attempted to renegotiate a higher salary and failed, thus returned to Bowling Green as head coach only after a week at West Virginia.
Oh, my gosh. And he is very... Now, he and Dockich and Bobby Knight have had a huge falling out. Who wouldn't with Bobby Knight? Who hasn't had a falling out with Bobby Knight? You know what I mean? So that doesn't mean anything. Who wouldn't have a falling out with Dockich? But Dockich isn't afraid to say it. I will give him that. He's the only coach that will actually come out and criticize other coaches. I'm not sure I've ever heard another coach in college, covering college basketball, that will even say something semi-controversial about another coach. So I will say I appreciate him for that. And he's not a brown-nosing blah, blah. He's an idiot, but he's not a brown-nosing idiot like all these other coaches are. But, yeah, he's had a falling out with Bobby Knight. And one thing we could say about Bobby Knight, he's a hypocrite in a lot of areas, but I don't think he cheated. And he had lots of problems with the guys that did and would actually come out. And I think didn't he say something about the Baylor coach at one point saying, this guy over here, you got to watch him or something like that. He was not afraid to do that. Either is Dockich. So if Dockich says, yeah, there may have been some shady going on at West Virginia, that's the one thing. He wasn't a cheater from what I understand, if he's anything like Bobby Knight, even though sounds like both of them hate each other. They're probably too much alike.
Very true, yes. Have some of the same issues, and I can certainly see that. All right, so to the Loyola story, if you're rooting for Michigan, it means you're rooting against Sister Jean. Why do you hate Catholics?
I absolutely do not. And after I picked, just that I'm hoping Michigan wins, I maybe need to take that back. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. So I've got till Friday to decide who I want to win. Maybe I do want Loyola to Chicago to win. This is a cool story, and I was on with you a few days before we went on to the NCAA tournament. Not proud of how I acted. Came off as a snob, basketball snob, but I wouldn't take anything back, which is weird, so I'm not really sorry about it, Trent. What I will say is the people that are saying this tournament sucks now because Loyola of Chicago's in it, I don't get what they're saying. I guess if the TV executives want to argue that they would take Loyola of Chicago out and put in a number one or number two or number three seed, mm-hmm. fine. Okay, I kind of get that. I really don't care about them. I care about you and I and what we get to talk about and the people that are listening to this stuff. We've got our Cinderella. We've got our team that's an 11 seed that's only been, done a few times, right, Trent?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got that team now. So we got the team that, oh, man, wouldn't that be cool? That just proves that anybody could do it. Given the right team, if you come together for a certain amount of games, you could do it. And then you got your three seed Michigan, most alums in the nation tied with Penn State. I think it goes back and forth from what I understand. So you got a huge fan base in Michigan that's three out of the last 6 years, Final Four, something like that. And then you got two number one seeds, Villanova, who you and I took, and I still think they're the best team. I still would pick them. We'll see. The Brunson guy, probably going to be player of the year. Then you look at the Bridges guy, who's probably going to be a top 9, 10, 11, 12 NBA draft pick. And then you got another number one seed in Kansas, who you want one team on group against. It's Kansas. I do not want them to win it. North Carolina and Kansas are the two teams I root against hardest because I'm sick of guys coming in here stealing Iowa's talent from Iowa. I would say you and I, Drake. I want them to stay here, so I always root against Kansas, and I always root against North Carolina. So as long as Kansas doesn't win, I think I'll be happy, Trent. But as a bettor, a guy that gambles, can you give us any knowledge of how you're doing? I mean, are you making money? Are you losing money? How you doing?
Very profitable weekend. After the first and second round, not so good. Remember, I was at Disney with the little one. I struggled just having enough time to really break it down. And now this weekend, I had a lot more time to figure things out, where I'm going. I was very happy the way I walked away. Only three games left, Wolfgang. And then I get into baseball, and that whatever I make here is going to go right back because there's so many games, and I want to fire at everything. And then, oh, look, you went another night where you went 6-8 and lost more money. Baseball season kills me every year.
Villanova, this isn't off topic. I was going to say this was off topic. It's not. Villanova, the Brunson kid.
Uh-huh.
So most people are picking him to win the player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What is, before I give you my opinion on him, what's your opinion as a college basketball player, and have you seen enough to even, like, translate him to the next level? Because I've seen some different opinions on him, and I find it a little interesting. Do you have an opinion on Brunson as a college player? Do you have anybody you might compare him to, and then what he'll do in the NBA?
You know, he's kind of a grinder. I think I saw somebody maybe on Twitter liken him to a little bit shorter Andre Miller. I thought that was a good comp. Guy that can, you remember Andre Miller really back people in and kind of go that route. So I thought that was pretty good. Is that
Utah,
fair?
Right?
Yeah. Utah, and then played for years in the league. I thought that was a pretty good one. That was one that made sense to me. You buy that?
Yeah, I can. I'm just, you know what? That's an interesting, but I always liked him.
I did too.
I liked him, and I don't know his stats in the NBA, but I think he's had a pretty successful NBA career. I always liked him, and that's an interesting comparison because Brunson if you compare him to the other guys in the NBA, he's not crazy quick.
Right.
He's not crazy fast. I don't know what they list him at. Do you know, Trent? Because I don't.
No.
He doesn't look very tall. Is he 6'2"? I honestly don't know. I don't know. But I'm sitting there watching him, and I saw somebody say, I can't remember how they phrased it, but they just phrased it in a way that made me think that he was going to be a stud in the NBA. And I just can't think of how they phrased it. And again, I'm telling you, words have meaning. And I watch him and I go, that's going to be, it was a dynamic point guard in the NBA. That's what the guy said.
He's listed at 6'3", 190. Even if he's, I don't know, 6'2", 6'1 and a half, whatever it is. You know, he's not tiny by any means. He's so strong, though, with the ball. And I don't see him being on a good team, a team that can get to a conference final, say. I don't know if he's a starter for that team unless you have the right mix of the other four positions, but certainly a valuable guy. I could see him being first guy off the bench on a very good team like that because he can do a lot of things for you. I can see that, but a star at the next level, I'm not ready to go there.
Yeah, he didn't say star. He said dynamic point guard at the next level or something close to that. I'm like, I don't think he's going to start. Am I wrong? And then I'm sitting here just, well, quit that. Who cares about the NBA? Just watch him and appreciate him for what he is at college. And then I love the way they're posting him up, Trent. You see the way, how many times did they post him up in that game? It was awesome. And I'm like, why does every team not do this? Mm-hmm. He's only 6'3". Is he 6'2", 6'3"? Whatever. But he's got pretty good footwork down there. I think he made every single post move that I saw, and he did in other games that I saw as well. And I've never understood, just because you're big doesn't mean you should be posting up down low doing your stuff. That doesn't mean that. And just because you're a guard, why can't you spread the court and post up another guard? Guards are not used to guarding other people down low and having down low post defense and bodying up like that. And the Villanova coach gets it. I freaking love when I see stuff like that that other coaches don't do. And Brunson's one of those guys that can do that. You don't see a ton of that posting up a 6'3 guy. It sounds kind of funny, but, man, he's successful at doing it. It's not because he's got a crazy vertical or he's crazy big. He's just he's good at it.
Knows how to get it done. Wolfgang, you know how to get it done as well. Most important question, though, any blowback from calling your daughter stinky last week?
Okay, no stinky involved. It's called organic shampoo is what I found out. Not a fan. I like my girl's hair to look shiny and clean and beautiful and glistening in the sun. I don't want no organic crap that has no smell. I want it smelling good. I don't care if it's organic or what. It takes a couple years off your life. I love my daughter. It takes a couple years off your life for having shiny, beautiful, loving hair, and you die at 98 instead of 100. I'm okay with that.
Get out of here, Goofy. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Too far?
Too far. Too far.
See
ya, Wolfgang. Check it in. Always entertaining. Welcome back. Put a cap on things on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC.
And welcome back, everybody, as we get set to wrap up the show here on a Monday. Trent, look, there's no NCAA men's tournament action.
No.
There is some women's action tonight.
Mm.
I'm told, I haven't seen them play, but I'm told that the Oregon-Notre Dame game should be a pretty good ball game tonight. And also, South Carolina-UConn, of course, seeds 1 and 2, and Notre Dame and Oregon are 1 and 2. Will you sample some of the ladies in action on the hardwood?
If UConn, South Carolina is close in the second half, I might dip in for a little bit. Got a CBI, the championship series tonight.
Yeah.
San Francisco. Yeah. There's an old program from back in your day, Jimmy B. With
Boy,
Bill
you're
Russell.
Not kidding.
Yeah.
Bill Russell. Yeah, and after that it was Bill Cartwright who played there too. Chicago Bull fans will remember him.
To localize things, San Francisco knocked off Iowa in the national championship game with Bill Russell back in the 50s,
yep.
way back. But, college basketball. I might watch a little NBA. Unfortunately, the T-Wolves, well, they're playing tonight, but they're playing Memphis, a team that's tanking. That probably won't be a very entertaining basketball game. But more and more of the NBA, the NHL starting to find its way on. I'll probably find a game there tonight to jump into as well.
I will, too. I'll probably sample some of Denver and Philadelphia just because those two teams, I want to see how the big fellas match up against each other with Embiid and Nurkic. I want to see how that plays out.
I'm with you. That's one. Is that NBA TV? Is that right?
Yes, NBA TV tonight.
Good, good. 216 on your Rockstar Direct TV. I'll be dialed into that one as well this evening. Well, Jimmy B, you have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow, all right?
Thank you, brother. We will do that. And we are done here on a Monday. Hope you enjoyed the program because we certainly did. Back bright and early tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the Big Talker 1700.